Yeah, I've thought about what I would like to talk about, and some soul searching and some asking of God and some reading and so forth. I think that the truth would be just an excellent subject to talk about. Whether you recognize it or not, the truth is under siege. The truth is not absolutely known by a whole lot of folks. The truth is being crippled and rumpled and twisted and in some places lost. And a lot of the rising generation, probably a lot of my generation and past right here, are a little fuzzy about what is the truth. How do you know the truth? How do you know if you've got it? How do you know if what you're doing is the truth, is right before God? We've got so many social issues, and I don't need to remind you of what they are right here, but we've got social issues that are being practiced to the max, as if this is the way it is. And it may not be the truth. And so I've taken this right here, and I'm going to try to dissect this and try to come up with an understanding of what is the truth. And how do you know it's the truth? How do you find it? What do you use as your measurement for the truth? And so I've got a variety of scriptures right here that it all has to do with what I'm talking about. And my wife, she reminded me before I come up here, make sure you give them the quote. I'm not a quote kind of a guy. I don't do it. I mean, I storm through it right here. But this is John, the 8th chapter and the 31st verse. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. The man or the woman, the church, the nation, the organization that continues in the truth of God, you are his disciples. You're in the right way. You're in the way of truth. But unfortunately right here, this little word right here is key, is continue in my word. There's a whole lot of discontinuance in the truth. There's a whole lot of made-up truth. I've come up and I've made up my own truth. I've come up with what I decide to believe is convenient and good. And I'm going to believe in that. That's truth to me. Your truth may be different. And I want to declare to you that the truth stands. And there is the truth. And there's a lie. Or there's a fading and a besmirching of the truth. But if we continue in his word, a whole lot of people and a whole lot of churches have not continued, are not continuing in the word. And they're drifting away. And the truth is going to magnify itself, and the truth is going to stand. When it's all done with, when the explosion, when the fire dwindles down, the only thing that's going to be standing in those embers is this pinnacle and this symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is going to be the truth, and that's him. And so we've got to continue in the truth, but you got to know what the truth is. And I want to talk about that, is what we can use as a barometer. I believe the truth is like a lie detector. And I've never had a lie detector test, but I've talked with people who've had it. And they get in that chair, it's kind of like the electric chair, and they get into that chair right here, and it registers all kind of movements of your brain and your heartbeat and all kind of things. Your sweat and everything that's happening right here, and they're a barometer, they're an indicator of if you're telling the truth or not. And if your heart rate beats up, and if your brain rate is going crazy, and you're sweating, and boy, beads of sweat are breaking out all over your body, you're probably not telling the truth. Well, I wish it was that easy, and maybe it is, but I believe that there's a way where we can all sit back, and we can sit and we can determine where the truth is. So let's keep trying to find it. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus is saying he is the one that made it all. He's the one that wrote the Constitution. He's the one that started this machine rolling right here. And he's the one that says, I want to tell you, every last one of you, whoever you are, no matter how in much consternation that your decision is right here, you can know the truth. And what will that do if you know the truth? The truth has got this liberating influence. It can free you up. So you can take some guy that's an alcoholic, and the power of God comes on him. He can know the truth right here, that what he's doing is wrong. And the truth is, if you're able to break that habit of alcoholism right here, you can be free. That would be any sin that we're crippled by. If we got this crippling thing that's got hold of us, we can't get loose of it right here. The admonition by God Almighty is that you can be free. You can be liberated from it. You don't have to live under that. And you shall know the truth. It's not fuzzy and it's not murky. It's not something right here. Say, well, I don't know really what Jesus wants. I don't really know what is the right way to go. There's a way to know, and you can understand that, and you can know the truth, and you can be freed of whatever you're crippled by, whatever your enemy, the devil, has done to impose upon you. You can know that there is freedom coming. It's on its way. And you don't have to be hamstrung and hankered down and held down by the oppression of the devil. You can be free. John 18:37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus is standing before him. I believe that Pilate's standing there and he's looking at this humble carpenter's son. And he's looking at Jesus right here. And there's something. The truth is trying to fall on Pilate. And he's looking at this poor man. And he's detecting in the depth of his soul right here, there's something to him. There's something about him. There's something, the way he talks, that rings true to me, and I don't know how to handle it. Art thou the king? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause, come I to do what? Why did I come in here besides to save men and women? I come into the world that I should bear witness unto the truth. He's coming in here and he is the truth. And what he's got and what he says is the truth. And so you might say, well, you know, how can I know something like that? Well, Jesus says right here, he says, confess your sins. Will you confess your sins? The truth is, you're going to feel better. If he says to the thief right here, quit stealing right here, that thief that stops is stealing, and the Bible says right here, steal no more, but work with your hands right here. He's going to understand what freedom is, and he's going to understand that's true, what Jesus said. And so we can know the truth right here, and I unto the world that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Have you ever been around somebody and you know it's true? You're trying to tell the truth, you're saying the truth, and they're sitting there looking at you right here, and anger is rising up in them, and I don't like it. And they may get up and just storm out and walk away from you because they don't want to hear the truth. But everyone that knows the truth, when he hears it, there's a little bing that goes off. There's a little light that comes on. There's a little something that says, you said it. That's the truth. And Jesus wants to magnify the truth. He wants to have that stand up. He wants us to know that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you hear my words. And you put it to the test. And you'll discover and see right here that it's the truth. And so here it is. Pilate himself is asking that question. John 18:38. What is the truth? I think that there's something cooking there in Pilate. And I think that for a very moment or two in his life, as he's looking at this man, he knows he's telling the truth. He knows that what I've got before me is indeed the king. And I don't really want to condemn that man. I think there's something really good about him. Well, he began to pick up on the truth. But he was overshadowed by circumstance and by politics and by fear right here, and he turned Jesus over to the enemies of truth. And so he's asking the question, what is the truth? So when we're journeying down life's road, When we're cruising down the road right here, and we're faced with, what am I to do? There is a right way to do it. What am I to think? There is a right way to think. If there's a theology that you want to know, there's a right way to understand that theology. There's a right way to govern yourself, being a husband and a mother, being a son or a daughter, being a member of the Church of Christ, being a member of the United States right here. There is a way that you can live that is the truth. And it has for its harvest good things. But those that are ambassadors of falsehood and of wackiness and of getting off the path, and they can't stay on the narrow road right here, they're always going to be in Calamity City. They're always going to be wondering, you know, life is the pits. Life don't working out. You know, I can't stand it. There's no right way. There's no right person. There's nothing that I can put my hat on and say, this is good. There is. And Pilate is saying, he's asking that question, what is the truth? And Jesus is going to tell us. And we can know it. Peter, 2 Peter 1, the first chapter and 16th verse says, for we have not followed after cunningly devised fables. We haven't. Here's Peter and James and John and Paul and those guys right here who with Paul right there on the Damascus Road. You can't take that from him, that experience that he had. And that totally changed him around. And the truth that he thought he had, and hauling people off to prison and doing all kind of wicked things and serving the devil right here, not knowing that as an original Jew. And he was turned around and he met the power of truth. And that power of truth right here did not become a fable. Nobody could ever steal that from him. And Paul was able to go to the guillotine with that truth in mind. It's better for, you know, I don't know what is better, whether to stay here with you or to go over yonder and be with the Lord. And he stayed with it. And all the ambassadors of truth, and all the holy fathers, and all the men and women, and our mothers and fathers right here who have not followed after cunningly devised fables right here, they died with a testimony, like my daddy. I'm learning obedience from the Lord. His last words. I'm learning the truth. I'm not pursuing some diabolical twist of the truth. I'm not going to follow some rabbit trail out there in the woods somewhere off of a cliff. But I'm going to seek it. I'm going to search it. And the only way I can do it is hanging on to the truth. And the truth is going to show me the truth. And the truth is the truth. And we can find out to our soul's delight. We're in the truth. That is the truth. 2 Titus, or 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter and 16th verse. Pilate asked that question, how are we going to find the truth? Well, it's in your word, in your own Bible, the Bible of a Catholic, the Bible of a Methodist, the Bible of a Presbyterian, the whoever you're at, right? You have that in that scripture. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. What scripture? Well, that was written 2,000 years ago. And the scripture they happened to have was the Bible. And the Lord is saying that all scriptures, and that scripture that is telling you what the Word of God is, all scripture is not just the thought of some man, not some scheme, some good writer, someone that has conjured up something that sounds pretty neat and pretty poetic, but it's by inspiration of God. The Bible, as an example right here, the Bible is a collection of a bunch of books written by a bunch of people over a bunch of experiences. But that Bible has one theme. Do you know that? That Bible has the theme of the Lord Jesus Christ and God. That Bible has its theme of growing in and knowing the Lord himself. Woven through hundreds and thousands of years, right, is this theme of unknown men and unknown entities and of people and of circumstances and events that have come together, right, and they've got the same theme. all written by coincidence, by chance. No, by inspiration of God. God is in it and through it, all the way from the beginning to the end. You read that, you get the mind of God. You know what the mind of God is. And you see what he is, and you see what he expects, and you know that what he wants is good. Garden of Eden, if Adam and Eve right here could have held to the truth. The truth, what is the truth? Thou shalt not eat. That's the truth. The truth is, if you eat, you're going to suffer. That is the truth. Believe that, Adam? Well, I think so. Believe that, Eve? I think so. And the devil comes in, and he is the cunningly deviser of fables and of lies. He comes in and says, did God say thou shalt surely die? Well, we think he said that. No, thou shalt not. One word. One word changed all of history. One word. And the devil knows the importance of that one word of naysaying, that one word that can change everything. He knows that, and he's seeking to stick it in, the truth. But the believers of the truth right here don't buy that lie. They're not going to yield themselves to that. And so all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine. I want to know what I should believe. That's the doctrine. I want to know what church I should belong to. That's the doctrine. I want to know what is right and what's wrong. That's the reproof. I mean, you know, well, tell me what is wrong. I tell you what, you ask God a reproof right here and you're going to be on your knees. You're going to be knocked down. You're going to be bruised. You're going to be hurting. You're going to say some owls. That's the reproof. It's like your dad or your mother right here when you were a little kid and you're running out there in the street right here. That reproof is going to get on you hot and heavy. And that reproof is going to dust your britches. And that reproof is going to be a finger in your nose. And don't you ever do that again, running out in that street without your mom or your dad. That's the way our God is. And all scripture is going to do that. It's going to reprove you. When you're reading the scriptures, you're going to read that, and it's going to say, come out of the world. Well, coming out of the world is what he means. Staying in the world is not the truth. And the word of God is that he's talking to us in a whole lot of ways. And he's trying to tell us, he's trying to save us. He's trying to save us from the pain that goes beyond the reproof. Profitable for reproof, for correction. Slap us around a little bit. Shake us just a little bit. Don't you know that's not right? You need to understand what is the truth. That's the correction. Instruction in righteousness. How to be. Have you ever asked yourself that question? How can I be a righteous person? I want to be a righteous person. By doing the right thing. By heeding to the truth, by paying attention to the truth, and knowing that you got the aftermath of the Garden of Eden if you don't pay attention to the truth. The truth is you're going to get in pain. You're going to have major difficulties and problems in your life right here if you get off the truth. There's always rigor and there's always difficulty because we are human, we're carnal, right? And God is going to, I felt him jerk me off of that bind forbidden path 1,000 times. Get over here and get on the road. That's the truth. But if we pursue vain and foolish doctrines and imaginations, and I choose not to walk in the truth right here, you're going to have pain. And if you got present pain right here, you know where it's coming from. And you know what you're doing because God, by the work of the Spirit right here, by his correction, by his reproof, is telling you, don't do that, don't go there, don't say that, don't think that, depart. Come closer to me where the doctrine of salvation and deliverance is. Come to me under my arms for instruction in righteousness. Should I not go to that movie show? I tell you right now, don't go. Should I watch that TV program? No, I'll tell you right now. The proof, the reproof and the instruction of God is that don't do that. Don't listen to that. Should I go with these friends right here? And yeah, they drink just a little bit, but I'm not going to. Don't go. The Word of God's going to tell you that. Should I have these little thoughts of unforgiving thoughts right here? And I can't, you know, I just can't forgive this brother, this sister, my mother, my father, my cousin, my sister right here. You know, I just can't forgive them. The truth is, you best resolve that. You best get it done with and seeking the instructions of righteousness. And God is going to say, and Jesus is going to say, let us come together in holiness and righteousness and goodness under the truth. Hebrews 4:12. The truth detector, the lie detector, is talking to us right now, talking to me. For the word of God is quick. What is quick? It's alive. It ain't some feeble thing that was said 3,000 years ago. It's alive, and it gets you right there in your heart. And it causes you to, it grabs your attention. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's got a way of getting down there where the cancer is. It's got a way of opening you up right here and letting the bad noxious fumes of wickedness and sin depart. Powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, to the dividing of sunder soul and body and of the joints of marrow, to the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And I want to tell you something. I'm getting around to it. I haven't got to it yet, but I'm moving in that direction. And what it is, when you're faced with deception, when you're faced with something that you're scratching your head, and I just don't know. I don't know if it's the right thing to do. I can't make up my mind. I can't read it. This, the Word of God, cuts it open right here, and it tells you, and it will tell you. The truth is, you can discern it. That's a lie. That's not the truth. That's wrong. And I can see it, and I can feel it, and I can discern it, and I can prove it by the virtue of the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ that gives us impetus. And a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. My mother, I try to lie my way through trouble. And she said, Randy, did you do that? Well, you know that your lovely son wouldn't do something like that. You know I wasn't even there. I was a 1,000 foot away right here. No, I saw you there. I saw you do it. I heard it. A discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Matthew 24:24. Our day, I'm convinced our day. I believe we're living, if you might say, a terminal generation before the millennium. We've got 1,000 years, whenever it stops, right? But we've got 1,000 years left right here. But I believe we're at the terminus. We're at the end where everything comes together. When all the things of our fathers and mothers and grandparents and all the sages and all the men that have wrote in the scriptures right here and all the history that we've ever read right here, I believe it is coming together right now. And as it comes together right here, Jesus is saying, I want you to know this. This is the truth. You're going to have false Christ, and you're going to have false prophets. They're on their way. If you haven't seen any today, if you haven't seen any yesterday or the last few days right here, you need to wake up. You need to know right here, they're here on our doorstep. All right? Now that false Christ shall arise, false Christ right here. Jesus says in another place right here, because there's going to be someone who's going to say, I am Christ. That can be taken two different ways. That can be is, I am Christ. Or Jesus is saying this in an effort to twist the word of God, what Jesus is saying. But anyway, we can expect these false prophets. And if it were possible, they would do what? Here we are, we're reading the word of God, and we're doing our best. We have our Sunday school class. If you're not here in Sunday school class, you're making a mistake. If you're not here for church, you're making a mistake. If you're not here for Wednesday service, you're making a mistake. God has provided you the freedom right now that you can come together and you can pray about and hear the word of God and ponder and ask the Lord of truth and the word right here, feed my soul and bless me with the truth. Help me to understand and know the right way. But trouble is on its way and falsehood is on its way. And if we're not grounded in the truth, what is it someone said right here? It says, if you don't believe in something, you fall for everything. And if we're not grounded in what did Jesus say? What was his opinion? What is it when I get the scriptures together, and I just don't just choose one little verse right here, but when I get the scriptures together, it comes together and there's a load of them, and that load says, this is what I want you to believe. This will teach you. This will give you sound doctrine and direction and reprove and rebuke. That will give you that. But if we're not careful, if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. What does that mean? Means it's going to be pretty severe. It means that there's going to be a falling away, as it did back 2,000 years ago. It's going to happen again. There's going to be a falling away. There's going to be a drifting away from the truth. And why? Because they believe some lie, some contrivance of the enemy. But if we stay with the truth, then we're safe. And we'll be able to get to where we want to go, because there's no rabbit trails. There's no detours. There's nothing that's going to get us off there. And I've been there. I have been in the woods. This is real life. I've been in the woods. And in the woods right here, I've taken down this trail right here. And then I look, and there's a fork in the trail. I'll take this trail. And I've done that. And before long, you look back right here, I don't remember where I come from. Well, that's how it is. The devil gets us distracted and going down these rabbit trails right here. And we created our own theology. And we created what we think is the truth. And all we can feel is that our heart is beating harder right here. And we're full of anxiety right here because we're lost. Let's not be deceived. I believe I'm looking at, and this is not a pat on anybody's back, but I believe that where the brothers and sisters are coming together, and they have a craving, they have a desire, they have an understanding of what the truth is, and they're willing to make sacrifices to be able to find it and to get it and to keep it. I believe that they're part of that little crowd called the very elect. And it's not, and I'm not pointing any finger at anybody right here, but he's talking about somebody. And he's talking about the keepers of the gate. He's talking about the ones who love the truth. The truth is, if you eat that chocolate brownie, this is an example. If you eat that chocolate brownie is going to give you diabetes.
I don't care because I like chocolate brownies.
Well, you're not a lover of the truth. I mean, from that little poor little example right here. If God tells you, he says, Randy, like he told this woman there in the hospital. This woman's in the hospital, and this gurney is coming by her. And there's an afflicted woman laying on her back on that gurney, and they're going to take her right into the operating room. And the Lord come in and told her, in her heart, you need to pray for that little lady on that gurney. You need to get up and you need to pray for her. Well, I don't know her from nobody. That's embarrassing. I can't do that. That's totally strange. The Lord is commanding. You need to get up and to pray for her. I'm not going to do it. And they took that woman into that operating room, and she came back out with a blanket over her head. And this woman said, who didn't do what the Lord was telling her to do, told her, says, there's nothing like a whipping from the Lord. And that's what it is right here, is that the Lord is asking us to do. This is not playtime. This is not, ooh, I think I'll just spend a few minutes in church and then I'm going to go home and eat my bonbons and then I'm going to go bowling that night right here and then the world has got me for the rest of the week. It's for the tough who get up and get going. Those that believe the truth and they're going to accept it and they're going to claim it and they're going to keep it no matter what its demands are of them. And if it says, come out of the world, you're going to come out of the world. If it says, as you should have been, if you're in some movie theater right here and some wacko wicked scene appears on the screen right here and God is saying, you've got no place in here and you don't get up, you're a lover of the people that are going to be damned. But if you respond to the Spirit of God that's talking to you and telling you to do the hard thing right here, you're going to, it's hard. Yes, it's hard. Just like Jesus had, he gave the example of these two sons. I've said this before and you've read it right here. But the one son right here comes to his dad, and his dad says to him right here, he says, boy, he says, I want you to go work in the vineyard today. And the boy says, yes, I'll do that, Dad. Be glad to do that. And he didn't. This is Jesus talking. The other boy comes in and says, son, he says, I want you to do likewise what I told your brother right here. I want you to go into the field, into the orchard right here, and I want you to work for me. He said, I'm not going to do it. But he did it. And then Jesus says, who did the will of the Father? The one who did it. Yeah, he kicked and screamed, and it hurt, and it was inconvenient. He didn't want to do it, didn't like it right here, but he obeyed. And God's telling us that. Every one of us has got issues in our lives, got challenges and decisions to make. And you've got to start making the hard decision, which is, I will follow Jesus all the way. So there's going to be false prophets coming. 2 Nephi, the second chapter, 19 through 20. Wherefore the fruit of the loins shall write, and that's Joseph. And who is that? Who is the fruit of the loins that's going to write? Same people that's in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. The Book of Mormon. The children of Joseph. They're going to write. They're going to write what they've got. They've got it right here. They wrote it. And the fruit of the loins of Judah is going to write, and they wrote it. It said, and that which shall be written shall be by the fruit of thy loins, and also the which shall be written by the fruit of the loins of Judah shall grow together. And what are they going to do? They're going to confound false doctrine. False doctrine and the ploy and the lies of the devil, right? These words, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, are going to come together, and they're going to tell you the truth detector, the lie detector, that dial is going to go crazy right here. A lie, a lie, a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. And they're going to do this to the confounding of false doctrine. That is not the truth. And I can show you where the Word of God is, and I can demonstrate to you what the truth of God is. And it confounds false doctrine. Laying down of contentions. By the way, the Book of Mormon says, what about contentions? Where do they come from? Hell. From the devil. And any people who are the called of God, who are seeking the will of God to know the truth, they're not in this room of contention that the devil provides for all of his children. We're not going to fight, but we're going to confound false doctrine in love, laying down of contention and establishing peace among the fruit of thy loins. Isaiah, the 8th chapter and the 21st. Now, what are we talking about? The truth. We're talking about the truth. We're talking about how to come to an understanding of what the truth is. And here in Isaiah, in your Bible, the 8th chapter and 20th verse here, to the law. Well, what's the law? The law, I don't know, the law. I mean, is that city law, municipal law, federal law? What is it? It's the law of God. In my little opinion right here is the Bible. To the Bible and to something else. To something else there. He makes a contrast right here. He says, you want to know the truth right here? Get your Bible and pick it up and open it up and look at it. And then I'm going to give you something else. I'm going to give you the testimony. And that's going to testify of the truth. And it's going to be one in your hand with the Bible and this with the Book of Mormon right here, and they're going to come together. And if whatever is said, so somebody's got this new doctrine, maybe he's got some old doctrine. Do you know in the Bible, in the book of Revelations, I think it's the second or third chapter of Revelations right here, it's the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. You ever heard of that? It's in your Bible. About the second or third chapter of Revelation. Jesus is talking in Revelation there, and he says, beware of the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. He says, such thing I hate. Well, the whole world's going to hear this right here. I'm standing on the truth. But I looked up the concept of the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. What is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? What's the truth of the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? The doctrine of the Nicolaitans is a long word called antinomianism. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans is antinomianism. You know what that is? The doctrine of antinomianism is that we can all have a big party right here in church. We can all do abhorrent things here in the church and with one another. We can do all that because Jesus is going to forgive us. Because we are going to be saved. And what did Jesus say? I hate that doctrine. I hate it. And through the law and to the testimony, they speak not according to this word, is because there is no light in. And so, say somebody in the church has a revelation. They stand up in this revelation right here. And he says, thus saith the Spirit. Here's a weird example, a strange example. It's silly. Here's an example. Thus saith the Lord. It is now permitted before God Almighty that these are hard times, and in hard times people are hungry. And so therefore the word of God is that it is now permissible for you to steal from your neighbor. What do you think? What does the law and the testimony say about that revelation? It's false. It ain't true. It's not right. The doctrine of the doctrine of the office of high priest. You know what the doctrine of the office of high priest is? Well, high priest. All right, good introduction right there. Whose is that? The doctrine of the high priest is that back before the New Testament was the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament right here, they had high priest. Aaron was a high priest, Moses, all these guys, there was a lot of high priests. And what was their job? Well, the Hebrews in the New Testament tells you what their job is. And it says in the 7th and 9th chapter of Hebrews, it says, every high priest, how many does that leave out? Every high priest is called from among men to offer up gifts and sacrifices for the sins of the people. That means that if I've committed a sin and Brother Gill happened to be a high priest right here, I'm going to bring my little lamb. I'm going to take my little lamb. I'm going to put it in his lap. And I said, I've committed some sins right here. Could you pour the blood of this little offering right here on the horns of the altar right here and say a prayer for me that I'll be forgiven my sins? That's his job. That's what they did. Well, that did, and that was according to the will of God until a certain moment in time. And what time was that? D.A.? Jesus. And Jesus is the high priest. Jesus has got the blood. And the blood pours out upon the altar right here to forgive you of your sin when you come before the Lord with that offering. And so by the law and by the testimony, the office of the high priest is defunct, is non-existent to this day because we have only one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. My last scripture here, then I'm going to get on to the other half of my sermon. My last scripture right here, Galatians, the first chapter and 8th verse. Paul says this, if you open up your Bible to this passage, 1 and 8.